Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Why, hello, and welcome to another edition of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yeah, breathy. She's getting more breathy by the week. Anyway, it's the ASMR version. Thank you for joining us. And we have another tale of, well, quizzing woe and quizzing triumph and the ups and downs that occur when you are a contestant on Pointless. We have the fabulous writer, Christine Robinson, who will be telling us about her experiences with Richard and Xander.
Oh yeah, I believe this is another roller coaster of a pointless event.
I love these so much because it makes my own experiences on Pointless feel kind of less embarrassing and also less impressive at the same time. You win, you lose. At the end of the day, it's just a game.
It really is. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, and I did.
Don't forget that millions of people are watching it.
And Christine Robinson, of course, has some tales to tell of how people reacted to her appearance mm-hmm. and how it went. So we hope you enjoy this episode. So we are delighted today to be joined by a screenwriter who has a brilliant comedy brain, but also an excellent quizzing brain. It is, of course, Christine Robinson.
Of course, it's Christine Robinson. Thank you.
It's you. So, Christine, hello. Tell us a bit about what you're working on at the moment.
I'm actually on maternity leave at the moment, working on a five-month-old baby.
Wow, congrats.
But the good thing about being on leave at the moment is that all the stuff I worked on last year is sort of coming out this year. So it makes me feel like I am working, even though I haven't done for a while. So the next series of Avenue 5 for HBO, I think, goes out in the autumn. And I was on the writing team for that, which was very exciting.
My husband's in that.
Is he?
And yes, he... just in this series. And for those who haven't seen it, it is brilliant. It's set in space and Hugh Laurie plays the captain of a spaceship and everything goes wrong. My husband is in it this series and I have never been more jealous of him than for working with Hugh Laurie, and he kept coming back and going, oh, he's so nice. Oh, we had a lovely chat. And I was like, yeah, good, good. I'm really pleased for you.
Oh, get a room. All right.
Yeah. Get a spaceship.
I wrote a blap for Channel 4, Comedy Blap, that's been filmed and will be out later this year, called Biscuit Land, which I co-wrote with a woman called Jess Tom, who has Tourette's. She's in it, and it's about her life, and sort of based on a book that she wrote called Welcome to Biscuit Land, because the word biscuit is one of her prominent verbal tics. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Avenue 5 and Biscuit Land are sort of coming up this year, if you want to look out for anything I've written on.
Yes,
we will. We will be looking out for that. But now we're going to take you back in time to your appearance on Pointless. And in fact, not your first appearance on Pointless, I believe. You've done it a couple of times, right?
Well, I think we're going to talk about, so when you go on Pointless, if you don't get through to the final on your first attempt, you then get to do come back for like the next.
Of course.
So, so we're going to talk about the episode where we did get through to the final.
Spoilers.
We're going to talk about the second episode.
Must be nothing special about that episode.
Where we crashed out of round one. It's a really short discussion. We filmed that in January 2020, so when probably COVID was already among us.
Oh, yes.
No idea. Yeah, it was a very dark, wintry morning in the studio. I've forgotten where they film it. I went with my friend Marina. As these things often come about, we were drunk at a barbecue and shared our love of Pointless and said, oh, we should totally apply to go on. And I mean, I say we were drunk, but we were stone cold sober when we applied. We knew exactly what we were doing. So, you know, like the drunk thing only holds so much water.
The drunk bravado of we should go on Pointless then led to the sober realization that, oh my God, we are actually going
to
do this.
Yeah, neither of you would have wanted to back down after that. That's the way I'm picturing it. Both of you probably had a few doubts, but I've agreed to it now. I don't want to let Marina down. And she'd have been thinking the same.
Or maybe we both wanted it so much, but we didn't want to like let on in case the other one didn't want to do it. Or, you know what I mean? We were like, I think we both really wanted to do it, but it was sort of not the first choice for us, because we're actually both, you might not be able to tell this time, but we are quite shy people, actually. So going on national television was sort of, it was like, we really want to do this thing we love, but it means going on national television and humiliating ourselves. Yeah. But do we love it that much? And it turned out, yes, we did love it that much. Yeah. We wanted to do it that much to risk our dignity.
I think that's the right way round, though. I think loving the quiz and being prepared to humiliate yourself is always better than people who just clearly want to be on the telly and don't love the quiz.
Right. Because in fact, when we didn't get through to the final on the first episode, someone on production was like, well, this is great, you get more screen time because you get to come back for a second ep. And we were like, we don't want to come back for a second ep. We just wanted to go in and out. And
like... So day two, first thing I would say is it's a lovely gang of people. They all seem like nice couples. You're the cool ones.
Is that right?
Yeah, you're the cool ones.
Called ourselves that, but maybe by default, or like best of a bad bunch. Not bad bunch. That's really rude. I didn't mean.
But everyone seemed to be having a good time, liking each other.
Yes, I think so. But it was quite funny because there was, maybe I'm jumping ahead a bit here, but there was a new round they'd introduced for that episode that they hadn't really broadcast this particular round yet. Mm. Kind of sprung on us on the day. And it was sort of a points building round where it wouldn't affect your score, but you can, before you go into the head-to-head, the two teams have a round where they can confer with each other in order to try and like build the prize pot up. Yeah. So it doesn't affect your standing in the quiz. But the only time we maybe had like a mild to-do with fellow contestants was in this episode, and it was because the category was wine regions, and you get a big list of wine regions. Two are pointless, two are correct but not pointless, and two are incorrect. Mm-hmm. One of them was Giamatti, and there was a bit of a to-do because we all recognize Giamatti.
Yes.
I see what they've done.
Always something crafty, isn't there, in that round?
Yeah.
And so Marina and I kind of recognised it as a red herring. We were like, oh, it's because Paul Giamatti was in Sideways and that's about wine. And so we put that in there to throw us off. But I think the chap on the other team, I think he recognised it, but was like, oh, so we should go for that. And we were like, no, we think it's good. And he was like, yeah, so we should go for that. I'll say that one. And we were like, no, we think it's incorrect. Like, we had to and it was just this like odd exchange where I just felt really bad for like having to spell something out for someone.
Yes. Oh God, how embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. And I feel awful. And I hope he doesn't hear this. Like, you were very lovely and you had a pregnant wife and I hope you're very happy.
Oh, well, and you know what? We all do those things. Sometimes, you know, you can be wrong, but insist that you're right. Mm. And I mean, I've done it. We've all done it, I think, haven't we, Jen?
Yeah. Well, I'm always right though.
Oh, so, that's true. Yeah, you've never been wrong, so you wouldn't know. But yeah, do they still have that round? Because I don't think, do they?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't
they brought it in
time.
A sort of the, I think it needed a bit of a format shake up, something a little bit different, because the jackpot gets a little bit flat, doesn't it?
Mm.
So that I quite enjoy that round because they put some very crafty, as you say, some red herrings in there to throw you off. Familiar words. You think, oh no, I see what they've done. Yeah, nice.
They were a nice bunch. It was a very relaxed atmosphere. Like the production team were kind of very friendly and everyone is kind of putting you at ease. And it's only just you as the contestant who is just like intensely anxious and not eating the lovely lunch they've provided.
Yes.
Sick and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a really nice atmosphere and a well-oiled machine.
I have just realised that I've watched the wrong episode because I've watched the episode where you end up going against the mother and daughter, Jilly and Amy.
Well, right, that was the first episode.
That was the first episode. So everything that I have is irrelevant. So,
oh, no! Okay.
But no, that's fine because it was quite good. On the first day that you were on, you got within spitting distance of the final because you were going up against Jilly and Amy, a mother and daughter.
Yes.
And they pipped you at the final post. Your head-to-heads where you had pictures of TV judges.
Yes.
Then you had to spell the names of foodstuffs using the abbreviations for US states.
Oh.
That's horrible. Yeah.
That was a tricky one. And then your tiebreaker was political animals. And so the tiebreaker question was they described animals who were connected with politics and you had to identify the animals. So the one that Marina and Christine got was which Roman emperor intended to make his horse a consul?
Oh.
And your answer that you gave was?
Well, so there was a bit of discussion, a bit of like whispered discussion about this answer, because when we were shown those questions, I said to Marina straight away, I don't really know any of these except for Larry the cat at Downing Street. No. And then Marina said, well, I think I know the Roman emperor, I think it's Nero. And I was like, okay, great, well, let's go for that. And then she said, oh no, hang on, now I think it's Caligula.
Oh,
and then I proceeded to give some terrible advice, which I thought was good advice at the time. But I said to poor Marina, I said, well, if Nero was your like gut feeling and your first thought, you're probably letting doubt creep in now. Maybe Caligula's not right. So maybe just go with Nero. When actually what I should have said was, if we're not sure, let's just go for Larry the cat, because we know that.
Right. Yeah. But, the problem with there was she had too much knowledge and you didn't have any knowledge. And that was the worst sort of combo for a team. You needed to step off there on the Roman emperors.
Yeah.
That's the story of my life. No knowledge. And someone
no knowledge,
else.
But confident advice. Yes. I mean, you know, that's very sweet. But yeah, so that was your downfall. It was Caligula. And then the other team went on to say Larry the cat, which was only scored 16.
Wow, really?
Score. Yeah.
So poor Marina. So after that, Marina is gutted because she's kind of a historian as well. So I think she was feeling awful. I was feeling awful because I felt I'd given bad advice. And then we were just very glum in the wait for the next episode.
You rallied. You did rally. Tell us some of the highlights, because we don't actually know what happened in the episode. So talk us through the highs and lows.
Of the second episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first category was chemical elements, which is a classic pointless category.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was revising for Pointless, people were like, don't bother with chemical elements. It's done on Pointless. Like they've done so many of that. They won't ask you that anymore, surely. Mm. It's like, I'd rather not be caught out, thanks. So I was very pleased that I got a 3-point answer, and it was the lowest scoring answer of that round.
Yes.
Nice.
On the parliament question. I was really pleased with myself because I got a D in chemistry GCSE. It's about like some kind of low level redemption that I just revised some names and remembered one. Ruthenium. Because you have to name chemical elements beginning with either C, U, R, I, or E. And I was in a blind panic. Marina went first because I'd stared at her saying, can you go first? Can you go first? And she said rubidium because her daughter's name is Ruby. And then until that point, I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. And then I was like, ooh, sister-in-law, Ruth, ruthenium. Yes, I've got my answer. I
love it.
Nice.
Yeah, so chemical elements. And then we sort of had a fairly comfortable, she says, journey to the head-to-head. It was, it was another new format round that we hadn't seen before. So kind of threw us a bit where they had like a column on the left, in this case, of like lots of different famous works of art. Mm-hmm. And then on the right, there was a column of galleries. And you had to like match the work of art, like which gallery it was in. Mm. And so we did all right on that.
Mm.
Mainly because I got to go first and I just saw Constable and John Constable and the National Gallery. And I'm like, surely those two go together. I don't know anything about like Spanish galleries and all these other like works of art. For the points builder round, we had wine regions, which I've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had celebs with animals named after them. So pictures of celebs with animals named after them. And we didn't recognise Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, which we were gutted about. Went for Andrew Garfield and won that point. But that was kind of okay. Again, quite like, this is kind of comfortable territory for us, like popular culture, like it's not sport. So that was like the biggest fear. And then there was a maths one that we did quite well. But then we went to another head-to-head. So in the episode you watched, Lucy, I think we'd gone to a tiebreaker because we'd had a point, we scored a point each.
Yes.
And then this happened again in next episode.
So tense.
And we were like, and I could see Marina like having Nero flashbacks and like thinking don't mess this up again. Like pressure we're putting on ourselves of like, oh God. And so the tiebreaker question was about Canadian provinces. And I think we got the initials of some Canadian provinces and like an area in them, and we had to guess them. And Marina, God bless her, she kind of carried us through. She got Prince Edward Island.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Nice.
Which got us through to the final.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. So that was all very exciting. But what we soon learned was we'd focused so much on not crashing out in the first round because that would be the most humiliating thing to happen. So we were like, revise. Don't crash out in the first round. That's all we want. If we come away with the trophy, we'll be happy. But what we hadn't really addressed was that if we come away with a trophy, that means we've made it to the final and we should have a strategy for the final, really.
Yes.
And we absolutely did not have one. And so when they showed us our categories, it was really punishing. It was like the year 1962, Portuguese football, the US vice president, and albums by classical crossover artists.
Oh, good Lord.
I know. And so we were like, shit, like we've had a lovely day. So really, like what we should have done in advance is say, right, if we get to the final and we get like this sort of collection of themed questions, or there are some that we hate the sound of or quite like the look of or whatever, what should we do? Because I think if we had, we'd probably have gone for the US vice president and might have stood a chance.
Yes.
And I'll come back to that actually after that, because I've got a little side note about the US vice president. But we ended up going for albums by classical crossover artists.
Wow.
Because I think music felt like a safe space.
Yeah,
Though I don't know any classical crossover artists really, let alone their albums. Like I could maybe name a few, but I don't have a clue about their albums. So anyway, we went for that. And it was like, we had to come up with any, I think, top 40 album by, I think it was Il Divo, Kathy Jenkins or Alfie Bowe.
Sure.
And I was like, desperately, straight away, Marina and I were like, why did we pick this?
Yeah.
Like poor Marina, like she'd heard of Alfie Bowe, at least. I don't think I had at the time. And she was like, oh, I know he's done like a duet album with Michael Ball, maybe. So maybe an album called Duets. I was like, okay, great. Yes, let's guess that. Yeah. And she was like, oh, I think he was on like a cast recording of Les Miserables, like maybe that.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is good. I mean, it's good tactics. You know, there's yeah, good I mean, knowledge
it's,
coming
it's
out.
It's more here. Than I had. And then
you managed to squeak three answers onto the board.
Well, about 20 seconds left to go, I think was like, I think we're going to have to make up some answers here.
Yeah.
And then maybe with like 5 seconds to go, that's when my cogs were like, oh, hang on a minute. What about like generic album titles like The Ultimate Collection or whatever? But I couldn't get those words out of my head quick enough to just get a few guesses to hand because we were just out of time. When I watched it back, it was literally with 5 seconds to go. I was like, oh, what about like, oh no, time's up. Oh, fuck.
Just slightly too late. So tell us the final upshot. What happened in the end? It's not sounding great.
It's not great. So we invented a title for an Il Divo album called Vienna Nights. And
lovely.
That went on the board.
I mean, if it was Andre Rieu, absolutely.
Yeah, Vienna Nights.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've had some of them.
And then we went with, Duets.
Nice.
Yeah, classic.
And Les Miserables. And even though I was like, I mean, those albums are original cast recording. Like, they're not like individual artists, you know? But we had nothing else, so it was like Vienna Nights, Les Miserables and Duets or something, and we crashed and burned quite spectacularly.
Oh,
like no. They were all wrong.
No.
And it was a lesson in something. I still haven't learned it, but
well, do you know what? It was, if in doubt, try and make something up. You showed pluck. I think there's absolutely nothing. Pluck, that could have been the name of one of the albums.
It could have been. Trying to think. I would have probably guessed Encore. I bet they've all had an album called Encore.
Even more infuriating thing was is that when they went through the pointless answers, I think there was only one for Alfie Bowe called like Sonata or something. And then there was maybe only three for Il Divo and same again for
incredibly tough.
Yeah, that's
really hard. But there was an Ultimate Collection in there somewhere, and I was like, I could have scraped that out of my arse if I'd had a few more seconds, probably.
Well, could you be tempted back on? That's the big question, because you haven't got the trophy, so you could go back and get it.
She got the trophy.
She's got the trophy, but not
the prize money.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Not the prize money, but. A side note about the US vice president. So when Maria and I were like having a drink afterwards, very giddy that we'd got the trophy and just about the adrenaline of the day in general. But I just had this awful confession to make to Marina in that like literally one of the last things I decided to look at on the journey to the studio that morning was a list of US vice presidents. I'm an awful person. But I think in the moment I was like, I just don't know if I can even recall any of those names or like, and it just felt like a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Like if it was all on me, that category, I think I would have buckled. Hindsight, I should have just gone for it. But I felt so bad. And poor Marina was like, you fucking what?
How different things could have been.
Are you still friends though?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh. Yeah.
Well, would you go back on again together? That's the big question. Yeah. Or would you choose someone else?
Well, I would. I don't know if Marina would go back on. I would go back on with her in a heartbeat because she's amazing. But actually, Marina did get the bug a bit after that and was like, shall we go on like Eggheads? Or like, how do you feel about cheese? And I was like, do you know what? I've done my one thing, had a go, and like, that's enough for me. And so I felt bad that.
Well, you did well. What you've done very importantly and brilliantly for us is you've given some great tips for any of our listeners who are thinking of applying to Pointless.
Yeah.
Don't trust your gut instinct necessarily, I would say, is a good tip. If you have been researching American vice presidents, probably go for that.
Yeah.
But I think if you're in the fight, have a strategy for the final round of Pointless.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I mean, anything else? What would be, before we leave you, what would be your top tip for people who are applying to go on Pointless?
Well, top tip, I mean, I revised, I treated it like an exam. I just had so many like notes on my phone of like different subjects and stuff, you know, countries, capitals, tennis players, you know, Olympic winners and all kinds. So, and that definitely got me through the chemical elements round.
Yes.
And probably one or two other ones. So be prepared, definitely.
Yeah. Do your revision.
Yeah.
And also, I think don't listen to people because, you know, people said, oh, they've done chemical elements, and people say that about stuff. They go, oh, no, look, they've done that so much. But you were right to disregard that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There was also a sense of, it can be really intimidating, you know, in the studio, cameras on, it's really hot and you're like, everyone's like looking at you and judging you. But I just tried to think, okay, just like imagine you're at home seeing this board like from your sofa and you're not in the studio. Yeah. Would you be thinking? And that really helped me just kind of not have a panic attack on national television. Yeah.
Well, that is very good, calm, sane advice.
Yes.
And it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Enjoy your tiny baby.
Thank you. It's very quiet this whole time. Like,
train him up for quizzing. That's our advice.
Start them early. That's what we say.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
It's been so lovely talking to you. Thank you very much, Christine Robertson.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Right, we've got a listener quiz, Amanda, I believe.
We do, and it is from David Matthews.
Oh, thanks, David Matthews.
From the Dave Matthews Band?
I think so.
I hope so.
That's an American phenomenon, isn't it? I don't really know.
Crash into me.
Okay.
That's all I know.
So David Matthews has sent a series of questions which have options, and some of them you have to put them in a specific order.
Oh, I like this.
Yes, so... Jen's got her notepad ready. This is good.
Lots of paper.
Yeah, I think Lucy's going to need one as well.
Do you want a pen?
Yeah, I would love a pen.
Give her a pen. Okay. Give her a
That's
pen.
That's the sound of my pencil case.
Oh, it's a lovely pencil case.
It's quite dense and it's mostly felt tips because I am a 12-year-old girl.
Can I have a nice colour and then I'll do...
What would you like?
I'll do smiley faces over all
purple.
The eyes.
That's a nice
what rubbers have you got?
There's a thick end and a fat end on that.
Have you got flavoured rubbers in there?
Excuse me? What lifestyle do you think I lead?
Double-ended. She's got her rubbers. I mean, come on.
We're rubbing up. We're ready to go. This is from David Matthews. The following songs are from Rolling Stones magazine's top 10 one-hit wonders of all time.
Ooh.
These songs, in terms of the number of plays each track has on Spotify from least to most.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Right.
So we have Come On Eileen, obviously by Dex's Midnight Runners.
Mm-hmm.
One-hit wonder?
In America,
yeah.
This is Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah. In a Big Country by Big Country.
In a Big Country, Jim Stewart. Do we have to clear it if I sing these songs?
Yeah. And also just don't sing.
A couple of seconds, you're already going to worry that.
Big Country.
Again, this is not a one-hit wonder band as far as I'm concerned, but Take On Me by A-ha.
Yeah.
And Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Oh, God, I love Chumbawamba.
Who doesn't love Chumbawamba?
Do you know, I never knew what their range was until my husband introduced me to their back catalogue. Mm. I only knew Tub Thumping, but they're extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Okay. These are all great.
That's great. So I'm going to go
from
on. We've
least
got
least to most plays on Spotify.
Now, how do you want
worldwide?
To... Yeah. Okay. So we have five questions. Thanks to Dave. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through them one by one. So the answers to question number one.
So we're doing 1, 2, 3, 4 from least plays to most plays. Yeah.
From least to most.
Good.
Correct.
Okay. That's the way I've done it.
Worldwide.
So do you want to read out your what you've put down first, and then I'll tell you.
Oh, I haven't put anything down yet. Hang on a minute. I'm going to just quickly do it.
Just making a calculations.
Right, yep.
Okay.
Okay, so Jenny, what's your...
I've gone Big Country, Chumbawamba, Dexy's A-ha.
Okay, Lucy?
I've done Big Country, A-ha, Dexy's, and Chumbawamba. I've put them at the tippity top.
Wow, powerful.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got it on the nose, Jenny. Absolutely 100% correct.
What?
In a Big Country by Big Country, 25 million listens. Ooh. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, 136 million. Come on, Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners, 428 million. And Take On Me has 1,098 million listens.
Wow.
Yeah, you see, it is a powerful multi-purpose song, that.
Can I...
I think that's 2 points to you, because you got two in the right order.
And you get four. That sounds about right. Yeah. Can I ask a supplementary question? Can you name the lead singers of all of these bands? Big Country.
Ooh.
You know this one.
Yes.
Look at you, good little smug
That's
face.
Why I asked the question, because...
Who was it?
Stuart Adamson.
Of course it was.
Morten
Harkett, out of The Masked Singer.
And then Dexys.
That's your man... Ah, the man.
Yep.
The
lovely in his dungarees.
Yes. Lovely. I've got the picture. Is lovely. I even put my hands like
you
on
did.
My head and showed my armpits.
Like, hairy armpits.
Like in the. Go on. Oh, my head's gone.
Kevin Rowland.
That's the lad.
And Chumbawamba. I mean, sort of on top.
There were plenty of them. Was it Dambert No Bacon? He was one of them.
Yes, or was it Norbert Dan Bacon? Dambert Norbacon.
Dambert
Norbacon, that was it. That was the name I was remembering, but only partially remembering.
And their involvement at that at the Brits, when they... Did they throw water on...
John Prescott.
John Prescott. The days when there was always some, like, fun controversy at the Brit Awards, when something went
Jarvis
down.
Jarvis Cocker.
Brandon Block, when he went up because his mate had said to him that he'd won an award because he'd been in the toilet.
What was he doing in there?
And having a wee. And then Ronnie Wood was on stage or something, and he just went up on stage because his mate had told him that he'd won.
Oh.
And it was so cringy because Davina said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Brandon Block." And then he had a bit of a disagreement with Ronnie Wood, and he was supposed to be DJing at the after party, but Ronnie Wood's son had organised and said, "Well, obviously you're not doing that anymore."
Dear. All the inside gossip from parties of some years ago.
This is exciting.
Good. Thank you, Dave. David Matthews, for inspiring this. And that's only the first question.
It is.
We'll be here all night.
What I might do is split this into next week as well.
Okay. I think we might have to roll over.
What we'll do
it's
is
like
we'll
the
lottery. We'll have three questions tonight, and if you're very good girls, we'll do two next week, all right?
I'll be a very good
girl. Okay, well, we'll see.
Can't promise.
She shouldn't be promising that. So, question number two. List the four Olympic athletes throwing events in order of men's outdoor world record going from shortest to longest distance.
Wow.
And I don't even understand the question.
Yeah, sorry, mate, because there's actually no options here. So you're literally just so... I'll read it again.
So throwing events for men.
Yeah, outdoor.
Outdoor.
World record, going from shortest to longest distance.
This is like my favourite kind of thing where I have absolutely no idea and I'm going to just...
So shortest would be number one. Longest would be number four. We're doing it in that order. Ascending.
What other things?
Are we ascending?
We are ascending.
Okay.
I can only think of three things
you
throw.
So we go that, that. I do have four things that you can throw at the Olympics.
Okay.
I think that should have just been the question because
I think four things that you can legally throw at the Olympics and possibly get a medal for.
I feel
tantrum.
Like I should go first on this one because there's very little chance.
Go on then.
So number one, hammer. I think that's probably quite a short distance. Number two, discus, which I think is a bit longer. Number three, javelin. And number four, toys from pram.
That has happened.
Very nice. We've all
thrown our toys out of the pram.
So I think number one would be the one you missed. Shot put.
The heavy ball.
Yeah. Then hammer, then discus, then javelin.
Jenny, you were so close. So yes, shot put is number one.
It's discus and hammer the wrong way around.
Yes, that's all. That's all.
You can spin round with the hammer. It's a little chain, isn't it?
So, yeah, shot put at 23.37 metres, discus at 74.08 metres, hammer at 86.74 metres, and javelin at 98.48 metres.
Oh, that's a very good quiz.
So two points for me. I'll take two.
How many is Lucy getting? Was it one?
None.
No, you got... I think just for guessing the right things that you can throw, you should get a point for that.
So you said, well, no, you said discus was...
No, you see, because I put discus at two, so it was shot, put, hammer.
No, it was shot, put, discus, hammer, so you got a 1 point there, mate.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Yeah. Well done.
There you go.
So the final one of Dave Matthews's questions for this evening. So put the following groundbreaking culinary inventions in order from oldest to most recent.
Love this.
So pre-sliced bread was sold for the first time in Missouri. Invention of fries chocolate cream, the first chocolate bar.
Gosh, I love fries chocolate cream.
The first fish fingers are produced in a bird's eye factory in Great Yarmouth.
Oh, I could go a fish finger butty now. Oh,
I love it.
And Thomas Sullivan invents the tea bag.
Ooh.
This is not... Oh, I like all of this. Okay, I'm going to go...
Oh. This is really hard. Really hard.
Okay.
Go on, Jen.
This is big. Oh, I think I've messed that up, but it's because I'm really hungry now.
He's just thinking about fish fingers.
I want a fish finger butty made on sliced bread. Cup of tea and then a chocolate cream.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, that's a lovely
Let's
order.
Do that, shall
I'm,
we?
I'm about to order the Uber Eats, so I'll just...
Fish finger butty. Somewhere will deliver me a fish finger butty.
Oh, if anybody's listening...
Excuse me!
Well, I controversially am going to start my meal with a fried chocolate cream.
Okay.
Because why save the best till last? And then I'm going to have some pre-sliced bread with some fish fingers in, and I'm going to have my cup of tea last.
Wow, I think we're absolutely completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Go on then, Jenny.
I've gone tea bag... Chocolate cream, sliced bread, fish finger.
Interesting.
Are we both completely wrong?
A bit. So, like,
I know the earliest tea bags were made with fabric, like silk.
Silk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you can still buy though the pig's tea. That's they're in silk,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're just. That's to be pretentious.
It is a bit, I think they're about £8.
They
so
are delicious.
I'll never know. Oh, so
only
I'll never
on
know
special
it.
Offer.
Somebody's doing all right to know they're delicious.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Only premium tea in my house, I'll tell you that.
So, first of all, this has blown my mind. It's the invention of Fry's chocolate cream.
Yeah. Number one. I knew it was early.
First chocolate cream. Lucy, you got that right. That's 1866. Mm-hmm. Then we're having a cup of tea, thanks to Thomas Sullivan, in 1908. Then we don't have to go through the rigmarole of slicing bread anymore.
Yep.
And that's 1928.
Yep.
And fish fingers in the... this is just ballpark 1950s.
Yeah, I got the 20th century ones down. But it's earlier than that. I just come the wrong way around.
I just felt fish fingers. There. Like Captain Birdseye looks like he's been around a long time.
But that's what you're supposed to think.
Yeah, that's true.
And not the new Captain Birdseye.
He's hunky one.
He's a proper daddy. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I've done terribly. I mean, I thought food was where I could... I knew Olympic sports would probably not be my thing.
I ended up with 8 points.
Four. I've got a lot to catch up on next week, but do you know what? That makes it interesting.
Yep.
Everybody loves an underdog, and I suspect whatever David Matthews has chosen next week, if it's the order of... my Edinburgh shows, or I have no areas of expertise, but yeah, if it's or Rimmel lipsticks. Ooh. Pretty good on those. If you told me it was Heather Shimmer
before. I was going to say it was Heather Shimmer. It was just Heather Shimmer. That's all I'm interested in from Rimmel.
But we'll find out. We will find out next week. So thank you, Amanda, for delivering the brilliant listener quiz from David Matthews. So here's a big thank you to everyone who made this episode what it was today. That's you, Jenny Ryan.
That was me.
Me, Lucy Porter.
Sure was.
The inimitable Amanda Redman.
There she is.
Our listener quizzer, David Matthews.
Wherever he is.
Fantastic guest, Christine Robinson.
She was marvellous.
And most of all, you, the listener. You people. You make us what we are.
You made them listen a little bit harder, though, with that whisper.
That's how much I believe in them. I think they can listen even more. So we love you. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. And we'll see you next time on...
Fingers and Buzzers.
Yes, I will.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.